to Romans. We were last there back at the 1st of December, and we, of course, got into Christmas messages and whatnot, and then we had all the different activities going on, getting ready for the Christmas season. But then we had our theme, and we've been in Nehemiah. So I'm going to try to get back into Romans, and so I'm probably going to teach and preach through Romans. Now I'm going to switch to Sunday nights to go through this book. We only got about four chapters left, and so it's going to be finishing up here. Hopefully this year we'll finish it. I believe we started it back in 2022, I think, is when we started this series, January of 2022. So we're going to keep marching forward. And, you know, the next four chapters, I think, are wonderful in the sense of helping us as believers to know how to conduct ourselves. How are we to be consecrated believers that has a life that is attractive? We all need the desire to have attractive lives. And I better clarify specifically what I mean by that. We want lives that are attracting people to Jesus. Amen. That's where we are to adorn the whole grace of God. And so that we can certainly be attractive to the world in the sense to realize they got something that we do not. And so that's what we will get through in chapters 12 and so on. But chapter 12 specifically, we did already cover the gifts, and that was spoken of basically verses 4 through 8. So we talked about those. We're not going to dive back into that, but I do want to quickly review the foundation of Christian living. The foundation for Christian living is found in verse 1. Verse 1, will you notice with me there, it says here in the Bible, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Let's go ahead and start over and say it together. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is the foundation of a consecrated believer. You can call it what you want to. We could probably come up with a few tonight if I went around asking. This is referring to a sold out believer. This is talking about a believer who is all in. All in. This is talking about a believer who is fully committed. This is what we need to refer to as a completely dedicated Christian. By the way, that's who disciples are. They're fully following Jesus. Not always perfectly, of course. We fail our Lord every day in some way, but we strive to grow in following Him faithfully. But I do want to make that clear. Always remember, there is a difference between a believer and a disciple. Now, we're commanded to be disciples as believers, but sometimes people just get stuck and they don't really continue following the Lord. And that's why we have the local church to help us all just to be stirred up, constantly following and seeking. But nevertheless, that is the foundation, because the things I'm going to be teaching on the next couple weeks, folks, I'm going to tell you, it's I giggle because, you look at the things that we're going to be commanded to do, and we should be doing. You can't do it unless you're sold out. You, number one, have been saved. Number two, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. But then you're a living sacrifice. You don't come off the altar. You present yourself every day and throughout the day. Lord, I'm yours. Because you're going to be faced on these things that I'm going to start going over, you're going to be faced with every day. And he talks about, because of that consecration, there's a separation. And that's a separation from the world. You and I should look different than the world. We should act different than the world. Our lives should be different, distinct from the world. And we do that by the renewing of our minds with the Word of God. Look at verse 2. There's that transformation, as we gave illustration of that several weeks ago in that message. We see that it is a renewing of the mind, and that way we can know what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is in our lives. But it will only be happen as we're saturated with the Word of God. But then he goes and he talks about humility. Like, listen, church, none of us need to be boastful about anything. But he's talking about here specifically about the gifts God's given you. Each one of us is gifted differently. And quite frankly, much better at some things than others. And the Bible tells us clearly not to be envious of one another, not to be jealous of one another. But hey, just be up right up front. Understand, as a church, our gifts are to encourage one another. That is the goal. Let's look here in verse number 5. We are members, verse 4. We are members of how many bodies? One body. We are members, many members of one body, and all members have not the same office. We're all going to be functioning in different ways. And I am convinced with all my heart that the nursery worker who does it out of a heart of love for Christ and a heart for the children, I believe that that person will be just as rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ than a missionary that goes to the foreign field and gives their whole life on the mission field. Because rewards are not based upon regions. Rewards are based upon motivation. Why are you doing what you're doing? I want to serve Jesus. A lot of you do things behind the scenes. I want to tell you, God doesn't miss a thing. He sees that cup of cold water that Jesus uses symbolically as little acts of service that you do throughout the day for different ones. And listen, there is no such thing as an insignificant ministry in the local church. We're all going through different seasons of life, aren't we? That's another thing we respect about one another. There's certain things that you can do that I can't do, and vice versa. And we respect that. We support one another. We never look down, and let's go ahead and say this too. We never look down, neither do we put people on a pedestal. We honor. We believe that there's a such thing as honoring and congratulating and encouraging. But look, we're all at ground level. And that ground level is the level at the foot of the cross. It's beautiful. So there's some ways we should conduct ourselves as believers. And these next exhortations that Paul's going to go through in chapter 12 are speaking in the context of believers. You and me, how we should treat each other in a local church setting. Now these apply also to family. I hope they do. In fact, I'm titling this little mini-series on House Rules for the Children of God. House Rules for the Children of God. How many of you grew up with having house rules? Rules in the house. Okay, yeah. Most of us did. I see some kids raising their hand. Yeah, we got a bunch of them, Pastor. We got a bunch of them. It might be something as simple as, hey, take your shoes off before you come in, or at least wipe your feet off before you come in. It might be, I think it's good. We don't always practice it, but maybe at least try to greet each other when you come into the house. Some house rules, at least try to make some kind of contact. It might be some rules about just being forgiving. You got some that signs that they make up now. Our family rules say, I love you, and serve one another, forgive one another, laugh together, and say, I'm sorry. You got all these different ones that you have for house rules. And I think those are good. They're good to be reminded of, because people that live together 24 hours. Well, we're not necessarily there 24 hours a day. Some of you are in that stage of life where you're 24 hours a day, but you've lived so long and have enough experience, you can do that successfully. The rest of us are still working towards that, amen. But with all honesty, you know, there is that element that when people live together, look, we get on each other's nerves. And sometimes we drive each other crazy. The fact of the matter is that's a family setting. Sometimes you just have to go to your room and to get some quiet and some peace. There's all kinds of funny stories we could tell about how we go about doing that, right? Families. There's family rules on how we can get along and how we can encourage one another. And then there's also the negatives. What are some things not to do? Okay? I know one that was that our house, the way the builders did it, and of course it had been built, I think, in 2004 when our house was built. We didn't move in until it was like 2017, but it just so happens to be high ceilings just in the living room part. To me personally, it's a big waste of space because it's just my heat's running all the time, and just heat rises right up there. That now the kids are warm because they're upstairs, but we're freezing downstairs. But nevertheless, I say all that say this: sound travels so easily. And oh boy, if folks start yelling, I mean, I'm telling you, that echoes throughout the house. And man, you get those kids going and get to chasing and hollering and yelling. Boy, it can get loud real quick. So we have said, unless the house is on fire, do not yell. And that still doesn't work. But we do try to get them to do that. We try to implement some house rules. So you know what I'm saying, family rules. Well, listen, the local church, you know what we are. We're a family. We're a family. And I'm so glad we have the group we have here tonight, because I just love having these type of messages, because we're family. And there are times in a local church where we might get on each other's nerves. You know, I know I get on Lori's nerves when I talk about how I love cold weather. Right, Lori? You like cold weather, don't you? No, there you go. But, you know, we all different personalities and different backgrounds. We're going to have different interests. Those things are healthy. They really are. Those things are natural. But even though there may be some differences, and we may at times offend each other, and I'm just joking with Lori, I don't offend her. She just tells me that I need to think about that better because the weather. But I say all that to say this. There are times where we will legitimately offend each other. It might be a word. It might be something as simple as you spoke and the person was maybe in a different zone and they didn't speak back. There could be something said. There could be a misunderstanding. There could be a letdown, disappointment. That happens in family, doesn't it? That happens with a husband and wife. It happens with parents, with children. It's a family thing. It just happens. But one thing's for sure, just like our families, Paul says, look, here's some things that you always practice in the local church family, in the members, the membership. Practice these things, and he says, you will be a healthy, growing family. House rules. Let's look at some. It starts off in verse 9. I'm going to give us some time for testimonies tonight, so I think I'll only cover a few, but there's nearly 20 once you go through the chapter here, chapter 12. But these are the things that Paul's going to say. First thing he says, now I believe this is foundational. Verse 9 is foundational to the rest of the commands. He says, let love be without dissimulation. Now, that's basically saying right there, let love be real. Let it be genuine. Let it be authentic. You know, we were in teen class this morning, and the teens do a good job listening. I appreciate them. And we're going through Daniel right now. But I know some teenagers love language. I learned it already. Donuts. They love donuts. Right, Ms. Doris? And they like hot chocolate. They like hot chocolate. But one thing I have found that young people love most in this life is somebody that's real. They love genuineness. They love to know that you are real. It's not a surface thing. And I think young people are attracted to that. And I believe that that should be the testimony of Christians. That should be something that we all strive for, is to be real in our love. Now, please note that verse 9, when it says, let love, that is agape love. And the reason I point that out is because a love will be mentioned later that is not agape love. It's phileo love. But this one is agape love. And agape love is not talking about feelings. So this is why, and so husbands, wives, let's listen up here, children, listen up. This is why you can love somebody, being real, being genuine, not being a hypocrite. Love someone genuinely and maybe not like them at the moment because you got offended. You can still love them genuinely. Because this says, let agape love be without hypocrisy. So what it's saying is that you are talking about a matter of the will. It's not a matter of how you feel. It's a matter of the will. This love, the way you love each other and the way we love each other, we're not basing it on how we feel. We are basing it on the will. Say it with me. Not how we feel, but on the... So there's no excuse to say, I don't feel like loving you. No, you choose to. And you be real with it. You be real with it. Let love be without dissimulation. And then that's the way we will be able to authentically do all these things that are going to be listed. And so let's look at them. So we let love be real with one another, and we show that. How do we show that love's real? Well, we all agree that we're going to abhor that which is evil. What does that mean? Well, number one, if you're taking notes, this series will be number one, we need to be real. Number two, we need to be opposed to that which is evil. We need to be opposed. Be opposed. Together, we all understand that we need to be against evil in our lives. And we as a local church understand our three common enemies, correct? So just name them. What's the three common enemies? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Those are three common enemies. But I want to tell you who's not my enemy, and that's you. We are not enemies. We are together, but we hate the thinking of the world that opposes Jesus and mocks Him. We oppose and hate the devil, and we hate the flesh. I don't like my old man. I hate him. I hate him. And you know what else? He hates me. He hates me. Because now I'm in Christ. And he got knocked off the throne when I got born again. He's no longer in charge. Now the Spirit of God is in charge when I'm yielding to Him. But we need to hate that which is evil. And then, not only that, but as we see here of being posed, notice with me thirdly, taken from verse 9, we need to cleave to that which is good. That's we need to be attached. We need to be attached to that which is good. That word attached there is glued. As a body of believers, we need to all be agreed in the family that we're going to seek to attach ourselves to things that are good. Okay? Hold your place there and just look over there in Philippians just for a moment. It's just a few books over. Will you notice there with me in Philippians chapter 4? Notice chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, if you have your Bibles there, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. These are the things that I believe are good. Finally, brethren, let's say these together. Whatsoever things are, all right, whatsoever things are of, all right, those are all good things, and that's what we want to attach ourselves with. We agree that that's what we're going to do as a family. There's going to be opportunities every day of our lives to oppose that which is evil and to attach ourselves to that which is good. One that I'm just going to share with you because I'm not here to talk about your heart. I don't know your heart like you know your heart. So I know my heart. So I am speaking from experience and authority upon Brinson's heart. My heart, as I testified this morning, and thank you for your prayers. Someone had already told me they're praying for me in that way of how I was just being a hypocrite. I was being loving and affectionate to the family members in the local church, but then I would go home and turn into a big grump, irritable, agitated, easily agitated. And it wasn't like that all the time, but a lot of times it would be that way. And now I want to attach myself to that which is going to produce a good attitude, a good spirit. And I want to hate that grumpiness. I want to learn to hate that spirit. Would you say that's a good idea? And we practice that. Learn to hate those things that sometimes bind you and put you in a prison of some degree. And keep you from building the wall and to keep you from growing and maturing. Just hate that sin. Learn to hate it. There are some things that we are given the liberty to truly hate. And so that's a family rule. Be opposed. Be attached. And then I think I'm going to make this my last one here. Notice with me verse number 10. The next one is we need to be affectionate. Notice what it says. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. Now that's a good family rule. That's a good one right there. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. That brotherly love there is not agape love. That's phileo. That's a love that is a kindred spirit. Seeking to just be a friend to. Siblings here, young people in your homes, I know your sibling, brother or sister, can get on your nerves sometimes when they don't do their part in doing something or whatever the case may be, but learn now to make them your friends. And I tell you, God's people, we ought to be friends. We ought to do what we have been called to do in the local church. That's why we do things together. That's why we fellowship. That's why we have opportunities to go hang out and be here at church. We are called to be friendly one to another. By the way, I think, in my opinion, I believe the best testimony of a local church is when someone says, that's a friendly church. In fact, what statistics tell us is that one of the first things a person will look for, now I hope that they will look at doctrine and they will look at, you know, philosophy of ministry, that all those things are fundamentally important, but I'm talking about initially, like walking through the door. They're looking for friendliness. And I want to encourage you, church, please hear my heart tonight. I want us to be friendly to our guests that come into the door, going out of our way to speak to them, introduce your name, welcome them to this church. I mean, go out of your way. I'm talking, if even it's just four or five of you, and I've seen that. I've looked out of here before and somebody walked in. I've seen four or five of you just kind of standing in line waiting to greet them. And in my heart, I'm going, yes, praise God, look at them. just being so friendly. But then let me say this. Don't let it stop with just visitors coming in. Let it keep going with each other. I love to see the way the church hangs out before and after church. Keep that going. Go the next level. Go talk to people you hadn't talked to in a while. Get to know them. Just breed and feed that friendly environment of friendliness. And that's what he's talking about here. That's a house rule in the local church. Be real, be opposed to evil, and be attached to that which is good, and be affectionate one with another. Be caring. Just having a touch of love. It might be a kind word. Hey, how's your daughter doing? How's your mom doing? What that situation at the job? How's it going? Hey, I've been thinking about you. Hey, I've been missing you. Boy, it's been a blessing having you here. I just hadn't seen you. Just any kind of kind words. Now, listen, I'm going to give something practical here, and this is for ladies with ladies and men with men, in the sense of the way you talk to each other, because you want to certainly be appropriate. But I kid sometimes when I'll have us look at each other and say, "You sure look nice today." But you know, I think it's important to make kind, polite comments like that to one another. You know? You look nice today. Hey, I like that tie. That's a sharp tie, brother. Hey, those shoes, man. I got to be careful about that. I said that to somebody one time, and they took it off and gave it to me. I felt so bad. I did not mean for them to do that. Now, they didn't take their shoes off. They took their tie off, okay? I just want to clarify that. But you know, I mean, I think it's a wonderful thing for God's people just to go out of their way to make kind comments, just to keep a connection. And I trust that you'll work on that. Not that you're doing a bad job, but we'll just continue to grow and make sure that we are being caring and we're being genuine. Again, going back to being real. But these are just a few that Paul starts us off, and I think we'll close there tonight. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for just instruction from the Word of God as we seek to have a family that is for one another. Lord, we're all consecrated, seeking to be disciples that are a living sacrifice. And Lord, no doubt, we're just like a family. We make mistakes, we let each other down, and there are times that we misunderstand each other. But Lord, help us to implement these things that would truly fight against any kind of spirit of the devil and a fleshly spirit of division or discord. I thank you for the unity we have. Thank you that what we have tonight. Thank you that Paul, under the power of the Holy Spirit, wrote these things out for us so that we can have a functioning and truly vibrant and friendly local church for the glory of God. We commit these things to you, trusting your Spirit to do its work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.